You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
We'll see what happens there, because it's not, I think I have cloud issues. No, I think I have computer issues. Not, well, I have cloud issues and computer issues.
You sound broke.
Yeah,
I thought you were doing okay. What happened to you?
Everything's going to shit.
Oh, no. What happened?
It's all falling apart.
What's going on with your personal life? It's all falling apart?
It's all falling apart, man. It's all coming to it. It's all going down the drain.
Tell me, what you made some, you put your trust in the wrong people?
Evidently. The very wrong people, the worst people.
Hollywood scum?
The Hollywood homosexual community.
Oh no, you can't trust them.
No, I'm chilling. I'm broke, but I'm chilling.
Okay.
I think I spend outside of my means.
You definitely do.
But I don't think I have that much to show for it.
I don't think I'm exposing too much, but Eric, when he's thin, asks me, hey, can I have the Patreon for this month? And I always say yes. And then afterwards, when I'm like scraping together pennies and like thinking about eating dog food, I go, wait a second. Eric has like more in savings than I've ever seen in my life.
But you don't understand. No. You don't get it. I have not saved a penny in 2 years. In fact, I had more money 2 years ago than I do now.
LA ruined you. You got a cocaine habit.
It's fucking bullshit. The city is you get charged $50 a minute just to fucking exist.
I mean, I think owning a car in Los Angeles, it's funny. People always say that not owning a car in Los Angeles is just a miserable thing and this other thing. Owning a car in Los Angeles is a true hell.
It's not the car, though. It's not the car. No, I don't think it's the car.
I think parking is the worst. I think parking is the biggest scam I've ever seen in my life.
Well, anything involving a car is a scam. It's all, I mean, you know, it is a scam, but I don't think that's what's beating my ass.
What do you think's got you?
No, I don't know, honestly. Like, I look at my bank account and I like think about the money that I make and I think about my expenditures and I'm just like, how am I not saving money? I don't fucking understand it. I have to go through it with like a fine tooth comb, but like, I don't wanna. I just don't want to.
What do you mean? It's liberating to know. So,
because if I do that, then I'm going to have to make changes. But I like the way I look.
My girlfriend does not love the like itemizing your expenses. To her, that's like some depressing shit. Here's my thing. I think Excel sheets and shit like that are fundamentally depressing. But I think that having a grasp on what you're spending so that you can make plans is dope. You know what I mean? Like, yes, the reality, if you do the math and you figure out, holy shit, I'm only saving $200 a month, I should kill myself. It's still better to know. Like, let me ask you this. Is it better to know if your girlfriend is blowing your landlord?
I mean, yeah, but you could make an argument for no.
You could make an argument for that.
If you're 65 and you don't want to put yourself back out there, you just go, she's on her bullshit.
Let's talk about that for a second.
All right.
I'm watching Vanderpump, my favorite show. And so weird. And the one character is 34, a divorcee, and is freezing her eggs because she's so verklempt about the idea of dying alone and never meeting anybody and this and all that shit. Is this really how people think? And am I too optimistic? Now, I'm very happy with my girlfriend and all that, nice future together. But if she was to, like, you know, in Indiana Jones, where, like, let's say that my girlfriend and I get in like a fist fight like this, outside of a Nazi stronghold let's say outside of Cairo, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And we're fighting you know, this old thing, right? She shaved her head, and I lure her into an airplane propeller.
Okay.
Right? And she, her head splits open. She dies. Right. I obviously I'd be upset. Obviously I'd be depressed, but on the other side of it, should I ever heal from this wound of accidentally killing my girlfriend in an Indiana Jones pastiche? I think anytime I'm above ground, I'm still in the game. And am I delusional? What I mean by that is, if I got single at 60,
yeah,
I would just go, oh, damn, I guess the rules have changed, but I'm back in the game. But you're telling me that people, you're telling me that people look at it completely different. They look at it like, oh, I'm spent. I got nothing. You know what I mean?
Well, some people do, and some of them are right. I mean, I'm lucky. I still look like a taut 25-year-old. But
that's what everybody says about you.
I know. I think I look all right for 32. But like, there's definitely some people. There's some people, like, every now and then when I peruse these dating apps, and there's some spent people, and like, if you're spent at 28, it's not good.
Like, that's what I know. Spent is a state of mind.
Well, no, it's also a state of your face and your body, you know, but there is a spent state of mind. That is true. That's certain. It's good to not fall. You got to, as John Joseph says, you got to keep the PMA every day. You know,
you do. No matter how many people are calling you a fringe lunatic or a secret right winger.
Yeah, you got to you got to hang on to the positive mental attitude. But, you know, I get it. It's fucking, it can get fucking hard out here. It's dating and shit. It sucks. It's fucking, it's a bleak world. You know?
So this is a conversation I've had before. I liked dating, and I asked my girlfriend about this the other day. I said, why is all these shows depict dating as like some kind of nightmare? When I always thought it was fun. And she said, that's because you were dating in a not serious way. If you are dating with the intention of finding a real partner,
yeah,
then dating is a hell. And I never thought about that, but that makes sense, because when I would go on dates, I would just look at it like low stakes. I'm in a mood to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
This will be fun. Talk to somebody, get to know somebody's story or whatever. And then no heaviness. You know what I mean? Like, walk that person to their door if they're comfortable with that. Walk them to their street if you feel like, oh, hey, maybe I shouldn't know where you live. Whatever you want. But I thought it was low stress. But apparently, if you are looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, it is high stress.
I think it also just, like, by the time you're in your late 20s, 30s, I think you're just like, you're tired of telling your life story over and over to people that, like, you know, shit just like fizzles out, I guess. I mean, I'm kind of in between both the worlds. Like, I do like going out on little dates and stuff like that. But yeah, if you're in that headspace where you're looking for the one to settle down with, it can be hard. I mean, you know, it's about mindset, I guess. It's like, you gotta know what you're looking for. And you gotta also, like, probably understand at that point that, like, I mean, no matter who you're going to meet, I mean, like, everybody's got flaws, right? Everybody, like, you gotta kind of, to some degree, you're going to have to settle, unless you're, like, so smoking hot that you can date NBA players. Like,
but even then, you're settling in major ways. Like, the Adam Levine thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thought she was scoring something with this guy, and he thought he was scoring. But you just look, this is the heaviest thing I'll ever say on the show. We've talked about how you have to find the right partner because your happiness essentially hinges on it. Right. But the flip side is
We are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
How would I put this? Go on. I'm looking for the right words. I'm trying to stress to people that, I don't know. There's gotta be like, well, I'm going to sound too much like a Hallmark card. You go ahead.
You used to be so sharp and now you're like, you can't,
it's getting bad. It's getting bad, man. it's really bad. I the senility is creeping in and it's,
yeah.
And I'm wondering what it is. Was it too much? Did I look at Twitter too much? Is there some type of food that I'm not eating?
Maybe.
Like, what is costing me Ginkgo Balboa?
What's that
yerba
shit?
Mate.
What's the shit that they put on that vegans put on everything? The flakes?
Nutritional yeast.
You need more nutritional yeast, I think.
That's what it is.
I think that's what it is. I mean, look, you got to find the right person, right? You got to find someone, or at least like find someone that is right enough and you can kind of deal with the rest. You know what I mean?
So that's what I was, I'll try to find the words. So, maybe you're settling, maybe you're not settling or whatever, but you got to find somebody that you're relatively convinced really loves you. Do you know what I mean? Because when you say, oh, they could date an NBA player, I'm not sure that's a score, because what if you're a stressed person that doesn't like it when your husband fucks the maid? Well, then you made a bad decision. You know what I mean? If you are the type of person that doesn't care if your husband fucks the maid, as long as your bills are paid, then yeah, I guess you didn't settle. But I just think that a lot of the things, like, again, back to my favorite show, Vanderpump. There's a character that's going through like a thing where they're just dating the best looking people they can, and they're all shitheads. And it's like, yeah, that's the way that goes. You know what I mean? Like 9 times out of 10, I mean, ugly people are no prize either, but 9 times out of 10, a really beautiful person is going to be a shithead before the 30. Don't you think?
I mean, you know, if we're generalizing, it's kind of hard to tell. I think anyone is capable of being like a true shithead. I guess there probably is some kind of line graph that, like, the more attractive you are, the likelihood of your shitheadedness, you know, especially if you were like attractive at a young age, you know.
I think it gets bad.
It probably gets bad. Yeah. It depends what you're looking for. I don't know. I mean, you're in probably the most settled down relationship that you've possibly ever been in. But have you ever been like trying to settle down, or do you think you just sort of ended up here?
No, that's why I'm convinced that my girlfriend is the one, because I'm never trying to, like, I like partnership. I like that feeling linked to somebody. I think that's a great feeling and all that, but I don't know if I was ever trying to settle down per se, but, and I never let age be the determining factor. Like when all my friends were freaking out about, oh, I'm worried about this. And, you know, now I'm going to have to wait for all the attractive women to be on their second marriage or like their divorce, you know what I mean? To enter the game again. I never felt that way. You know what I mean? So the fact that I am enthused to settle down with my girl, I take it as a sign. You know what I mean? I take it as like, okay, like, so that's the right one. So, but there's people that have that freak out. They're like brains just breaking, are like, oh no, I'm not going to be competitive. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know, man. Have you ever seen some of these disgusting slobs? Like, there's slobs out there with good looking women,
yeah,
with ambitious women, you know what I mean? With funny women, you know what I mean? You could, I don't say this is good. This is some patriarchy shit that like our audience might have a problem with. But whatever the core, whatever has enabled this, it is just a natural fact that you don't have to be that, you don't have to be a high value man to find a high value woman. You agree with that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, evidently not. I think you have, right, to have like a just a modicum of like assertiveness, right?
Got to be confident, a little bit funny, yeah. Maybe have money if those two things don't work, but I don't think you've got to be a special person to find. You don't got to be a special man to find a special woman. I'm sorry to the women out there, but that's just what it is.
No, I mean, that's what it is. It's true. You don't. I mean, it's evident. You can see it everywhere. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where it's like the more, I think that there is something, I don't know if you want to call it chaos magic or if you want to call it like cosmic energy or what, but it's like the more pressure or importance you put on something like that, I think the more it's going to elude you, right?
I agree with that.
And I think, I don't even think it's not just for romance, not just for dating. It's for your career. I think if you want something too much, you're just not going to fucking get it.
Agreed. That you doom yourself in some ways.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like, you don't even know what that is. Like your idea of what you want, this is getting like hella Buddhist now, but your idea of what you want is fucking a fantasy. Like that shit in your mind is not how the shit is going to work in real life. So it's like, you can covet something and you can get it, and then when you have it, it is not going to be what you thought it was. And then, correct, you're going to think that you never got it or that you don't have it. You know what I mean? That's the fucking curse of life, man. That's the curse. That's the whole shit. So you got to be,
treadmill.
You got to be, yeah, that's the hedonic treadmill. You got to be wise enough to be like, you know what? I can see maybe the flaws, or I can see, you know, maybe I didn't get everything I wanted. If it's in your career, or if it's like, and, or you look at your woman and you're like, you know, like, could bounce on her ass to get some bigger titties, but it's like, yep, no, you gotta overcome that. And you gotta be like, all right, this is good, what I got. And it's probably about what I deserve. Like that's good. You know,
I'm going to get heavy. I think that a major thing, and this is not romantic, and I don't think that my girlfriend loves it when I talk like this, but because it just sounds too clinical. I really think that both partners got to be devoted to the project of your relationship. So not devoted to the other person, not devoted to, you got to be devoted to the, like, look at your relationship as a project. Okay. What's going to make the project work? How do we, like, look at your relationship like a ocean liner. It's taking on water. What are we going to do? Well, if we don't do something, we're going to drown. Let's figure it out. Like fucking get some, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
this, I've learned this from watching relationship TikTok. I know a lot.
Oh God.
Yo,
TikTok is a straight up, it's a brain slug that has infected everyone.
So it's, and let's see what, hold on. I'm opening it right now.
I'm going to be the last motherfucker on earth that doesn't have this shit.
Yeah, I thought that this was going to be, as I've told you, this shit.
What is it? I can't hear nothing.
Okay, so I'm trying to get rid, I'm trying to purge this of hoes because I don't want my girlfriend to like, I don't want to be opening my TikTok and just have hoes and give the wrong impression to my girlfriend that I'm just like on here looking at hoes.
Isn't that supposed to be a business thing? Your girlfriend is on TikTok, no?
She's not really on it. She like uses it to look at shit. She's like, she might make drafts, but I don't think she ever uploads. But
no, probably not. But like, she knows that how much of it is hoes.
Yeah, but it's different. She hoes can come up on her shit and she'll be like, that's because I'm a woman. If hoes come up on my shit, she'll definitely say it's because I'm looking at hoes. But here's my point. I just opened this. I assure you that I have not looked up under boob queen, but under boob queen is just what pops up. But okay, so this is more like it. I was going to say there is a 8 in 10 chance that I open up TikTok and it talks about Adam Levine, which it is currently doing. He is the hottest thing. Him and this girl, the hottest thing on TikTok right now. Everybody has an opinion and everybody has like a solution or a condemnation or you know what I'm saying? Like it's always some shit. And this has been, this is like hot. You know what I mean? This is, so you and I talk about podcast bait, right? Like podcast bait is, you know,
Black Little Mermaid.
A Black Little Mermaid exists solely for people like you and I to talk about. There's no merit to the conversation. There's sort of like, it's not even a real thing. Does not matter in any way, but it gives you and I something to talk about. Jim Norton is excited for Black Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, then there's TikTok bait. That's rock star Adam Levine playing the Super Bowl. Any person with a brain in their head knows that he's been with a woman other than his wife. Can we agree on that?
With a brain in their head, one would presume, yeah, that'd be a safe presumption to make.
Safe presumption, not because every man's got to cheat, but because Adam Levine's got to cheat. Look at this fucking guy. I'm sorry. So that's a handsome man who's been in a successful band for 20 years. His sense of entitlement borders on mental illness, right? It has to. There's no way around it. But the fact that we're all acting shocked and appalled that he would cheat on his Victoria's Secret wife that he landed after he left her friend, who is also a Victoria's Secret angel. And now we're shocked that he's picking up Tiger Woods style diner waitress scraps. This is a natural progression for this sort of dude, right?
Yeah.
But it's TikTok bait. That's all it is. TikTok bait.
Well, but see, so that's it. I'm like, honestly, and I've made fun of these people before, but like I'm becoming like a full fucking Baptist. Like I'm beyond trad. Like wow. I really think like it's we need the phone, not just TikTok, but like the phone in general has become such fucking Babylon. Like the fact that fucking like sports betting is like intrinsic. The sports betting. It is like
I love it.
It's entwined with sports as a whole. It is inseparable. So you can just fucking go on this thing. Mm-hmm. Like if Rick to Life is not showing up on Rick to Life, but you can just go on this fucking thing and just gamble your fucking money away. Your phone's basically a fucking slot machine. It's a bookie.
It's a wedding plan or so it's a matchmaker for your romances. It is a you can invest on it, you can gamble on it, you can destroy your public persona by going on Twitter and saying, you know, LOL flying to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS or whatever. And so yeah, you could do, your phone is your life.
It's Babylon, because listen,
it is Babylon. You're right.
It is.
I want to smash this fucking thing. You have a good point.
We should all be smashing it. It is so easy to ruin your life, and in ways that you can't even detect. It's ruining your brain, man.
My brain is ruined.
The pornography. Yo, we just talked about it. You can't think for shit anymore. Your brain is done. Your dick don't work because you're up all night looking at fucking crazy porn. That's my problem. I'm going off porn.
So I told you I'm going off porn.
Yeah, I know. But like it's I'm not trying to rip on you or like I'm not trying to bite your steez. I'm realizing like, yo, this is bad. Like, this is not good for your fucking brain. So like, you got to not do you got people got to become.
You are getting really trad.
People have to fucking join. You got to join the Westboro Baptist Church. I'm sorry. You got to find something that can make your mind fucking iron enough to like resist the temptation to lose your money, to beat your dick, to hook up with strange women. Mm. It's Babylon.
Wow. So you're going through a dry spell is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, it's bad. Evan's been gone for a week and a half. I'm lonely.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I need Evan back.
For people that don't know, Eric gets so goddamn weird when he's by himself.
So weird. But you know what? Good that I'm staying away from the drink. That's I would rather go crazy like this than be drinking alcohol.
That's a good point,
because that's where it used to go. But now I'm on some weirdo shit.
That's that other Babylon.
It's because, you know, you're by yourself and like all like you just I just stare at my fucking phone and I'm like, yo, this is killing me. This is killing me.
You got to do something else.
No, I mean, I've been jogging. I've been excited. I got to go back up the mountain. Yeah, I got to. Yeah, no, I'll be fine. But I'm just saying, like, dude, forget like and if you want to just like put all that shit aside. Like, you know, have you watched, I've watched videos about like what the terms of service are for TikTok. Are you aware?
Yeah, they're insane. I know.
Yo.
So I made one to promote my comic work and it only gets like 300 views. So I should probably just abort, but I'm going to stick with it probably for a year. See how it does. If I could even get up to just 5,000 views, it would be very worth my time. So I'm going to stick with it, but essentially it just makes my phone like a tracking device that it's become they live for the Chinese.
It's crazy how close the world is to they live pretty much.
You know what I think about every single day these days?
Yeah.
So, okay. There's a band called Cultureside. Are you familiar with this band?
No.
Texas band, I want to say, from the 1980s.
Okay.
Kind of like obnoxious punk. You know, like Flipper style punk, where it's just not pleasant for the most part.
Yeah.
But they have an album called what's it called? Hold on. Tacky Souvenirs of Pre-Revolutionary America. And what it is just hits like Ebony and Ivory, Star Spangled Banner, stuff like that. Love is a Battlefield.
Sure.
Where they just take the original recordings for those songs and then jarringly, abruptly, obnoxiously sing over them karaoke style at certain points. Right. So
okay.
When it's Love is a Battlefield, it's just this like guy with an obnoxiously high voice going, "Love is a cattle prod." And here's my point. The dudes in Cultureside probably all work at co-ops, maybe local alternative weekly newspapers. And they got to do something that was illegal because it's intellectual property theft and obnoxious and challenging and in its own way, counterculture.
Sure.
Now it is my firm belief and the thing that is upsetting me that there is nothing that reaches our eyes or ears that is not completely approved. And I don't mean literally approved by our Chinese paymasters and overlords. I mean approved in the respect that it just wouldn't reach us if it, people wouldn't even think to make it anymore if it was challenging. Do you know what I'm saying? Like even stuff that was challenging, like noise music.
Yeah.
Is now just some codified garbage. Like would you, if you go to a noise show, you're playing a prank on yourself. Cause it's like going to a punk show where it's fake bracing. It's fake challenging. It's fake counterculture, but it also sucks to listen to. Right. Like if you and I went to, if we went to a Coxbar show, neither one of us is convincing ourselves that that's anything other than a rock concert. However, it is at least very fun.
True.
Do you know what I'm saying? So there's nothing fun about a noise show, and it has no type of merit as an actual challenge to your sensibilities. What I'm trying to say, Eric, there's nothing challenging anymore. And that is why I want you to go to your door.
Mm.
Go to your door. I sent something to you. I got you a Nazi uniform. And I want you to wear it during these video casts, because I want to be challenging. I want us to be unhirable. I want you to have to sell cocaine. You know what I mean? Because I want to create something that is genuinely, legitimately not for everyone. And my fear is that right now, everything is for everyone. People that pretend not to like Joe Rogan are very embarrassing, because it's the most mass market thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right? Yeah.
Even if you don't like every guest, even if you're like, oh, I don't like his opinion on this, it's like, there's no opinion. It's literally, it represents one half of the country at all times. And that half keeps changing, right? So Joe Rogan will be like, I don't know about the necessity of the vaccine. And people will be like, oh no, but that represents half the country. And then in the other voice, he'll say, I like Bernie Sanders, represents half the country. So the side flips, but he's always representing 140 million people at one time. And it's like, so my point is, there's nothing challenging. Go put on that uniform I sent you. At the bottom of it, at the bottom of the screen, you can wear full Nazi regalia. And at the bottom of the screen, we can just put a little parenthetical, not an actual Nazi. And it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I mean, look, TV is fucking, I mean, corporate media is like slowly dying. So I might be out of a job soon anyway.
No. You're going to create the best.
Well, I'm going to have to start making my own thing.
You're going to do the best web series. You're going to make $14,000 a year. and you're going to have to work at a co-op full time. And that is how nature intended it. That we shouldn't all be making money.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you can make something that's good enough and people see it, then you get hired to do the Disney job. Then you make a rape joke and then you're out. And then you just go back to, you know what I mean? Like stay clean enough to get the corporate gig and then
with
ruin
the expectation
it.
That you will lose it with the understanding that it's going away.
That's what, there was one of these offensive comedians we listened to was saying how like he would accept the SNL writing job just for the sake of losing it he would try to see how fast he could lose it. And I think that's the spirit you got to go into the corporate.
It's the spirit.
With. Yeah.
That's the spirit of a corporate gig is a short vacation. You know what I mean? It's
make
not
a little money.
Make a little money. Get your name up if it helps.
I mean, the future belongs to Lloyd. So do you know Lloyd Kaufman? Do you know about Ty West?
The director?
Yeah. So do you know about his recent trilogy of movies?
So I didn't see them. I've only seen his movie from like 6 years ago or whatever. I don't remember what the fuck it was called. But I have not seen a single one of these. I was not that interested in them, even though I liked his one movie, but people are saying that Pearl was really genius. Is that true?
I loved it. I thought it was great. The acting was great. What I'm obsessed with this week is because there's two hemispheres of this world right now, the art world of the TV film world. You have Ty West. You have She-Hulk, Lord of the Rings, right? Mm-hmm. Exorbitant. Is that the right word? Exorbitant. Large budgets.
Yes.
Gigantic budgets. But utter shit. Just shit. Dookie. $1 billion dookie shows. Then you have the other hemisphere of that same world of Ty West making three horror movies, making them look pretty damn good with great acting and good enough writing. He made three movies for $2 million.
He looks like a turd, though.
He looks like such a turd. I was looking at him earlier.
So but I saw...
Yeah,
The Sacrament I saw.
I'm obsessed with that. This, like, the technology... The accessibility to make things is easier and more available than ever in the history of making things. You can do it on the cheap and on the low. You can be Lloyd Kaufman in 2022 and make something look good.
Look, I read somebody's bio the other day, a director who always came in under budget. Who was it? The model's exactly what we're talking about. The model is to just keep things perpetually budget as a strategy to just continuously do more stuff. Forget who the fuck I was looking at, but
Leni Riefenstahl.
Well, so have you ever seen the movie Freeway?
No.
Okay, so Freeway is advertised as a sexy thriller. It's a very young Reese Witherspoon, where she kind of looked like trailer trash. Like, you know, Reese Witherspoon looks very wholesome now, but as a kid, her forehead's really big and bulbous. She looks like kind of fetal. Like, she looks strange in a trashy kind of... If you put the right eye makeup on Reese Witherspoon, she looks like somebody that you like... You're like, oh man, this girl's definitely has a kid at home and shouldn't be out at this club. You know what I mean? Like that type of fucking energy.
Yeah.
And she and Kiefer Sutherland. And it's advertised as this kind of thriller. But what it actually is a post-Reservoir Dogs. We're giving budgets to every lunatic that's just super assertive and doing something that we think is kind of clever, right? So it is actually a very, very strange movie, subversive, like a lower budget Natural Born Killers in some way. Right. And actually, I believe Oliver Stone was the executive producer. Let's see. Freeway movie. But this director, Wright, Michael Wright. You know who I was reading about? Okay. I'm going to tell a quick story.
All right.
This is okay. So I'm going to say this with total respect for a friend, and I'll be very vague. Maybe I said this on the regular podcast. You tell me if I did. So Marco, who I do comics at Image Comics with, and I would like to expand into something like creative services, where companies know that they can come to us and we will find a pool of artists or creatives that can help meet whatever their needs are. Right. So there's a great number of people that do this in comic books. There's a few, not many, but for people that have had to do their own comics, which is what creator owned comics is, you're really most every element of it, except for the actual manufacturer, in some respect has your finger on it. And certainly things like staffing. So Marco is going to have a brilliant career as an artist, but then he's going to have a brilliant career as an editor. And I was like, oh, Marco and I should team up on this creative services thing. To get our name up, I wanted to get some licenses and do some Kickstarter pushes with film licenses. So comic albums, which are what Europeans call like they're hardcover, but they're thin. 70 pages maybe, but hardcover and large like this, right? So I was like, oh, Psycho Gorman. If you see that movie?
Yeah.
So Psycho Gorman had a very successful Kickstarter comic launch after the movie came out. and I wanted to do this for some, for another film. So, I reached out to a friend who is in podcasting, but does, he deals with licenses for films. And I said, what's the move here? And he goes, well, some of us use an IP lawyer, but a lot of us just go to IMDb Pro and find out who the producer is. And on these indie features, we just write the producer directly. And I said, oh, smart. So I had a friend with an IMDb Pro account get me everybody's address. So like, I've got the guy who made Wolf Creek. I've got his, I'm emailing him, you know what I mean? Like shit like that. But I wanted the guy who did Bone Tomahawk.
Ooh.
Right. And I, so I wrote the guy that did Bone. I was about to write the guy that did Bone Tomahawk. And then I realized I know somebody who knows him. And I said, oh, let me reach out to this mutual and see. And his answer was,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That dude and I are still on good terms. I don't have anything bad to say about him as a man, but he's got some dangerous associations now.
Whoa. What does that mean? Bikers?
It means that he took the job. So his, he was run out of Hollywood, but not on some Me Too shit, just on some, I want to do shit my own way sort of shit. Right. So he moved to Dallas. He moved, the company moved to Dallas. They were big advocates for making films outside of Hollywood. And this is the person who made their career keeping everything under a budget, right? And this is who I was reading about. This is part of why he was successful for as long as he was. Anyway, he was not implicated in any sort of Me Too shit, but some producer that was associated with this company was. So the company folded. They also owned Fangoria at the time, sold Fangoria. Now, he is now, he took the job. He heads the Daily Wire's film division.
Oh.
So here's my thing.
My son, Hunter.
Yeah. I personally do not give a shit about any man's politics. I deal with conservatives when I go to the deli. You understand? Like, if I cut conservatives out of my life, I would have a very limited life. I also would have an incredibly limited professional life, because if nobody I'm directly dealing with is conservative, the people who own the manufacturing plants that make the things that I, who actually physically make the things that I am the creative portion of, I can assure you some of them are fucking conservative. So this idea that you have to purge conservatives from your life is just foolish. But this mutual friend was saying, yeah, you know, he's got some, he's around some foul people. And this guy's a friend, and I didn't want to bark on him, but I wanted to say, I'm trying to license his movie from 7 years ago. I'm not trying to ride with him to the UFC fight.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make him my child's godfather. We don't even have to go out to eat once. What are we talking about? Dangerous associations. Oh, this is also on my mind because somebody the other day, a Hollywood producer, I should mention, asked me about the girl from Red Scare. How do you say her last name?
Gorbachev.
Gorbachev. So I don't know Dasha Gorbachev. I've listened to Red Scare probably 20 times. Mostly funny, but there's only so much vocal fry I can handle, right?
Yeah.
So, but he says, yeah, you know, a co-producer was trying to get her on this thing, but then we decided that she was too Alex Jones adjacent. And I lost my fucking mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I lost it because I was like, yo, you dumb rednecks. You dumb fucking rednecks that are going with this corporate idea of guilty by association. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would. Marjorie Taylor Greene is hanging in the other room. You know what I mean? She's at my house, everybody. She's at my house. I don't understand this fucking fear of other people. It's crazy. I got so mad at him. I was like, what does that mean? What does Alex Jones adjacent mean? And he goes, I don't know. There's something in the water about her being anti-Semite. I was like, oh, I said Jews did 9/11. Because here's my point. Everybody knows I'm joking when I say Jews did 9/11. It's a test. If you pretend I'm not joking, you become a dishonest piece of shit. She does a comedy podcast. I don't know if they call it that, but that is most certainly what it is, and everybody understands that. Does anyone for one second think that she is an anti-Semite?
I heard she was taking the teal coin.
We should all be so lucky.
My response is, how do we get in on that?
Exactly. I would take Teal's money.
One of our most recent reviews on Apple is Red Scare for the Boys. That's worst possible timeline. It's high praise.
I'll take it.
I'll fucking hang out with Alex Jones. I could give a fuck, man. I would give a fuck.
This is my promise to our listeners. If I had any opportunity to hang out with Alex Jones, I would take that opportunity and I would enjoy myself.
We could get him. We might have to go down to Texas, though.
I promise I would enjoy Alex Jones.
I think we could get him. Ever since we got Ian, I'm feeling bold. I think we can pull.
Oh, okay. You know Ian what it is? Alex Jones.
No. Because I think the mindset for a lot of these folks, I mean, like, there's some that are in the stratosphere that are impossible to get. And there are some who's just like general attitude. Like, we couldn't pull a Tim Dillon. But like, I think there are certain people, and it wouldn't surprise me if Alex Jones is one of them, that their mindset is, say yes to everything. That like doesn't matter if it's an hour of his time and it brings him in one new person. You know what I mean? Like,
there's also some people that they reconcile that their life is talking on a microphone now. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. So yeah, that's all true. But how angry would you be if you and I hung with Alex Jones? I don't know what his values are, but presumably none of them would infect my body, and I would have to start yelling. You know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't happen. So what the fuck is the harm? I hate the hypocrisy of this shit when it's like, do none of you deal with working class people? They got some ugly views, man. You know what I mean? You ever go to a construction site? You ever go someplace? Have you ever gone anyplace? Is my question. I would ask, have you ever dealt with somebody who is not from your weird little fucking bubble of colleges, right? Like, have you ever dealt with that person? Because right or wrong, a lot of that people got a lot of Alex Jones in them. You know what I mean? So what are we going to do? We're making things for a mass market, but no, we don't want, we can't have any of the people that make up the mass market.
Well, no,
it's fucking nuts.
I mean, it's one of my true beliefs is that it doesn't matter working class, rich, poor, like it truly doesn't matter what color your skin is, what your gender is, what you said. It does not matter what you are, who you are, where you came from. You talk to anyone. For a significant amount of time, they have ugly beliefs. Every single human on this face of this earth, you talk to them long enough and you'll discover something that you go, ooh, that's inside of you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. What's mine? What did you discover in me?
Jesus Christ. We go down the list here. No, that would take too long. I don't know that you would slit a homeless person's throat. I don't know.
I've never done it.
That's stupid and super self-limiting and yeah, people get scared. I mean, we've gotten shit, and it was a thing. No one's really said it in a long time, but I guarantee it's a thing that people still believe. And it's something that's certainly been thrown at us, but the idea of, platforming someone with ugly views, right? This idea of like, oh, you had Crowder on. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we were talking about this in 2017. The idea that like, it's literally, we don't fancy ourselves journalists. I would kill myself if I had that title. But it's literally, if you are journalism or if you have a platform, it is almost your obligation to have people like that on your show or on your platform.
I'm saying, where is the counterculture? Where is it?
It became self-policing. It's strange, man. But listen, I'm down. If you want to make a movie about a Nazi who lives in West Hollywood, you're the writer. Send me the screenplay. I'll figure out how to finance it, and I'll fucking make some shit. I'm kind of like, this new job has made me feel so unengaged, and like living on my own now, I feel so unengaged, and not having sex, I feel so unengaged. I'm like,
okay, God, now we're drilling down to it.
We're drilling down, and it's like, I'll make the movie about Alex Jones and the, I don't give a shit. Like, let's do it. I'm in.
Let's do it.
Let's
do it.
Yeah. We can Bone Tomahawk. And didn't the Red Scare chick make a movie?
Yeah.
About Epstein or some shit.
Yeah, an Epstein inspired movie. Yeah, but this is like this producer deals with like the Hollywood elite, where it's like, oh, we got to package things. We got to put the right team together to sell this to the fucking streaming service to get the money over the hump and all the bullshit. And it's like, uh-oh, we don't want them to think she's got some association with Alex Jones. Everybody, what I'm saying is these companies being so scared is robbing you of, it's truly robbing you of potentially great things in your life. And that sucks. That sucks. Some of you under a certain age are never going to know the joy of an ISIS beheading video. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to know it. And it's just, I'm disappointed for you.
Well, look, I mean, it's stupid because it really should just be, if you're talking to the Hollywood elites, if you're talking to execs, it's just all they care about is if you can make a return or if you're going to make a profit in some way. It's a fucking business, you know? So it's like, you don't want to like license the Dasha Necronomicon movie.
Yes.
Like, she has a giant audience that will all pay money to watch the thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. And until we pretend, until we stop pretending that that's not the main thing, we're doomed. Shout out to hip hop for knowing. Shout out to rap for just understanding. You know
what I mean? Well, so that's what I was gonna bring up, actually, that the most provocative artists, and this maybe sounds mad normie of me and mad pedestrian, but I think the most provocative artist of the last decade is probably Kanye West, and it was probably because he wore a fucking MAGA hat.
That's for real, the closest that we've gotten.
Yeah. And it's like the closest. I just remember, because I can remember at the time, we probably talked about it on here, and I can remember thinking, like, y'all not stupid enough to think that, like, this is his politics, right? Like, he has no politics.
He is
invested in the brand of himself, and he understands that the way to make his brand the largest it can be, where he can effectively boss around billionaires and boss around companies like Gap and fucking Adidas, which he's doing on Instagram, is very fun. He's able to do that by keeping his name in your mouth. And I think he understood, what's the most provocative shit I can do in 2016? Oh, the whole world is looking at this guy. I'm gonna go hang out with him. I could be the guy that's like, fuck Donald Trump. I can do that, but there's fucking lots of people doing that. How do I stand out? Maybe I'll just go stand next to him. Maybe I'll put on the hat and go hang out at the White House and bail some people out of fucking prison. That was the most provocative shit anyone's done on a mass scale. in terms of like popular culture.
Why is it that when Kanye hangs with Donald Trump, he's just a brilliant provocateur, and when you and I hang with Donald Trump, we lose sponsors?
If we appeared in front of Donald Trump, I think he would look right through us. I think it would be invisible to him. You know,
no doubt.
anyone with more than 50 grand just looks right through us.
I might buy these Ty West movies to watch on. About to leave for tour.
Right. Are you coming through here?
Los Angeles, one of the major. What major cities in the planet? Yes.
Because you're going out to like the Midwest first, right?
So I'm going on the what's after tertiary?
What? So
there's primary, secondary, tertiary, and then what's after tertiary?
They're sticking you in. Are you talking about the plane?
Hold on.
Are you taking a steamship to the United States?
Quaternary. I'm playing quaternary. Oh. So you know how there's A markets, B markets, C markets?
Sure.
So there's primary markets.
Yeah.
Secondary markets, tertiary markets. And I'm playing the quaternary markets of Birmingham, Alabama, Louisville, Kentucky, St. Louis, Springfield, Missouri. Oh, shit.
You're in the local affiliates region. You're in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Oklahoma City, El Paso, Texas, Tucson, Arizona. Okay, so then,
but on your way there, do you have to come through Los Angeles?
Wait.
Okay.
Then I'm coming to the West Coast. The show starts in tour starts in San Diego, the Bronx tour. So I was going to go to San Diego for the day, if you would like to come the day before the tour starts, so that I can hang with Dave, who I haven't seen in months. If you're more than welcome to come, if you want to watch movies in his secret movie theater in his home.
Which date? Do you know the date? You don't have to say it. Text me.
That would be October 3rd, probably.
Probably swing that.
Do you go to an office now? Are you weak?
Only when we have footage come in.
You betrayed yourself.
Only when we have footage come in, which so far has been 3 times, and I think will be 3 more before the end of the year. It's so bleak. Oh God, you should see this office. It is pure hang yourself office space. It's crazy. It's like the most. There's bars on the window. It's nuts. It's in North Hollywood. Imagine. Okay. Where were we at?
Hold on. I'm going to use the toilet. Have we hit time yet? Because I
don't know.
Really
it doesn't give you a time counter. Probably.
Listen, something's bubbling in me. So you're going to have to fucking call it.
All right. Well, I think I'm just going to make this the main episode, because this is 100,000 times better than what we recorded last night.
Well, you're welcome to do that, but I already uploaded the other episode to the fucking with the edits to the thing. Listen, I don't give a fuck what you do. I got a shit. Imagine if I was on one of these like Rogan style shows that goes for fucking 3 hours. I'd be like, I'm sorry, IBS, my guy. All right. Let's thank people for listening to us.
Okay. Well, if I do decide to make this the Patreon episode, thank you for listening. Thank you for your continued patronage. Tell a friend. If I make this the main episode, then it's patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. Go there, give money. 205-509-9785. Call and leave a message. At WP Timeline on Twitter and worstpossibletimeline@gmail.com for all business inquiries. We want to make the Alex Jones movie. Hit us up. Yeah. All of your financiers, hit us up and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
It is now 2024. And the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out? And stop listening to other podcasts.